I don't understand why anybody would leave where they are and come to Purdue to work for
right, and that's why
probably
that's...
a lame duck coach.
Purdue announces they're going to enhance Mollenkopf, and somehow the renderings of the building across the street are what everyone's tweeting about. There's no, it's not happening. There's no money for that. What is that, easily $150 million? You know, it's all going to fall into place, obviously. When Hazel gets let go, Kevin Sumlin will also be getting let go simultaneously. Correct. No
I'm
one's going to want me.
Really, my peers are behind me. Where could I go now?
Oh, I can go back.
Do you think he'd come in a coach in waiting situation?
Probably.
Welcome now to the darker side of Purdue podcasting. It's where Jay, Boiler Dowd, and Anish talk about Purdue football, what lies ahead, mystical stadium expansions, broken dreams, and broken promises.
All right, we got like an hour in, don't we?
Yeah, we got a good.
Yeah, no. Can we touch on football?
Sure.
Oh, sure. So football. What is there to say about football?
$1 million
per win. $1 million per win. So Terry Malone was promoted to offensive coordinator about a month after the job opened up. So I don't know.
It's funny. You know, it's funny.
Did they interview people? Did you get a call about that job? Because who'd they interview?
I actually went in for an interview. It was pretty good. Yeah. I thought I had it.
Nice.
But I did it. And they asked, you know, salary. I said, I'd like to get paid $45,000. And that's the funny thing. You know, I said, I'll take a little pay cut because I love Purdue and I'll do it. And I didn't get the call back. Or I thought that would be the hook that would get it
done.
Not
bad. 45, 46. That's a good deal.
Pretty nice. I thought I'd get all the Nike gear I could wear.
Well, so one of the big things about waiting is Gerard Parker, who's the only other candidate on staff, who's the wide receivers coach. The only other person with a pulse in the offense, like in the offensive line. No, probably not.
So they'll get Stubblefield in there because Stubblefield just got let go by Washington. It seems like it kind of opened.
By Utah.
Yeah. Right?
I don't understand why anybody would leave where they are and come to Purdue to work for
right, and that's why
probably
that's
a lame duck coach.
Right, and that's why I think the Joey Elliott hire, which seems to me that would be a great one, and the Stubblefield hire would be a great one because both of those guys haven't had that. I mean, Utah was a pretty good position. I don't know why Stubby got canned. They said it was because his biggest receiver only had 500 or 600 yards.
Yeah. The receivers haven't done anything there. Their numbers haven't gotten better. They haven't – yeah.
I mean,
I might
blame the scheme a little bit myself. My whole point is I wouldn't call him damaged goods because Utah – he's very young. He's very young, and everything that I've heard about him, how he handles himself is very good. So he's
he's a Purdue guy. He's a Purdue guy. I mean, that'd be nice. Yeah. It'll be nice. You know, I think that they should probably – what they should do is, you know, it's all going to fall into place, obviously. When Hazel gets let go, Kevin Sumlin will also be getting let go simultaneously.
That's right.
And he'll look around and he'll think, no one's going to offer me a job. No one's going to want me.
Really, my best years are behind me. Where could I go now?
Oh, I could go back.
Do you think he'd come in a coach in waiting situation?
Probably. And you know what you do? Not just a coach in waiting. I would factor in the stadium in waiting, and I'd say, look at this stadium. Show this picture to recruits.
Well, put this it in haze, so it looks like it's just a cloudy day, and it's a real photo.
Exactly. That's right.
And Sports Illustrated will pick it up again. They'll be like, look at Purdue Stadium!
Gosh, that made me angry. That made me so angry. It's what inspired me to write that thing today, that Purdue announces they're going to enhance Mollenkopf, and somehow the renderings of the building across the street are what everyone's tweeting about.
Heck yeah, because they're beautiful. But they didn't get. I mean,
there's no money for that. Anyone listening to this, if you didn't read my post, and I realize there's more words than I have patience for usually when I'm reading different blogs. But there is no, it's not happening. There's no money for that. It's $60 million to enhance Mollenkopf. What they want to do, or what they have in that rendering. What is that? Easily $150 million?
That's the thing. You and I talked about it, and you said $150 million.
Easy.
I think it's probably way more than that.
Probably more than that.
You talk about
because
just
probably
the
knock down
piece of that because they said ribbon boards around, new Jumbotron that's very big, and then Jumbotron on the other end. That right there is probably going to cost you. I think that's – you're getting up in $30 or $40 million right there.
It would probably make more sense. I thought about this today.
So then you've got the structure. They've got a massive structure.
I thought about this today. Wouldn't it make more sense – to build, do what Minnesota did, build a new stadium, build it in the north parking lot, and then take down Rostade and make that the parking lot.
Right. Well, problem solved. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen because that's not the way Burke does things. But the funny thing about this, is Justin sends out this thing saying, hey, this is crazy. This is utter nonsense that people have thought that this is actually a possibility. The stadium.
Forget that we're live.
It's actually going to happen. You know? And I said, this is what we've been through. And I started saying, real fake. And I sent him a link of something that Ted Burke had sent before and sent out to everybody.
He found some great ones, too.
Deck. And then what we get, no upper deck. And then I sent a picture of, like, the field being destroyed a couple of years ago.
Yeah, with
the
turf. That.
And then he's like – the funny thing is, in 2009, 2010, and 2011, he put a media push out all those years and said, this is something I got to get done. This has to get done. It's right for the program. It's just we're going to make this happen. He kept saying, using words like that. And, I mean, even ESPN, who was the ESPN Purdue, the guy who did the Big Ten beat for ESPN? I can't remember who it was. But I read one of those articles, and he says, Burke really sounds resolute. This is something, this is going to be his legacy.
Right. And it was Chris Emma. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, and I was like,
that was only a few years ago. That was like 2012 or 2013.
Right. So he was pushing. Think about that. From
right before he was trying to make a hire.
2009 to 2012. And look.
Right. And he basically, in the article, there was another article that was out there that was on Golden Black where he blames Hope. Basically, it's like if Hope was getting it done, this enhancement would have happened. He basically said it.
Hope said it, then we'll have the upper deck on there.
It's amazing.
The thing that's amazing to me is not only that he says it and continues to say it, is that people
lap it up.
Their name right now buy into what he said. Okay, this is phase two of the Rostade.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what phase two?
Yeah. Yes.
So phase one was the press box that was completed 12, 13 years ago. I think that's right.
Yep.
Like that was phase one.
Long time ago.
What type of project is this? So Burke's
actually a long project.
Holy moly, are we in for a ride?
That was the original plan.
Shirt sleeves and sweater vests out. This is what we have until
in '99 or 2000. The phase one was the left side, the west side, the press box, and Shively and Buchanan, which it's amazing that was built when you look back.
Yeah.
Right. So they rode the wave of the turn of the century success, you know, the Rose Bowl and then the Orton teams. And phase two was the East Upper Deck, which I was reading more about today. Do you know the East Upper Deck? Okay, so think of an upper deck on the east side of the stadium.
The East Upper Deck would be opposite the new press box that got built.
Yeah.
There would be an upper deck there with additional box seats under that deck.
The east side of the stadium, an upper deck, the whole length of it, and it was only going to increase capacity by 8,500 seats.
Right. So it was
doesn't make any sense. That sounds impossible.
No, but the big thing that if you read the – because I couldn't find pictures of just the east upper deck. The big thing that Burke wanted is he wanted more boxes because he thought this is a great revenue stream. This is business tie-in, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And so then the third phase was going to be completion of the north upper deck.
And the horseshoe.
The southeast being enclosed in some way. Okay.
That was all.
So what happens instead? No east upper deck. He releases pictures of an entire upper deck without the luxury boxes that were done by either a eighth grade student doing some computer modeling or a guy doing Microsoft Paint, like you said, was awesome. And then Purdue gets itself with its back up against the wall, finds out that the old southeast end zone seats are condemned. Has to knock them down, puts up some tents and some grills and some beer, and that's what we get. That was phase two, guys.
Success.
If you want to look at a crappy bait and switch.
Yeah, it's – but this is the most egregious, right? This is the most egregious one because those pictures suggest a modern – it looks – you know what it looked like to me? It looked like one of those SEC stadiums when you see that exact aerial where it's closed all the way around. There's a building at one end, glass, and you can tell it's like a football facility. And you're like, man, that looks amazing. That's what that looks like, only modern.
Reminds me, it's so – that design is what Purdue should have been doing in 2007, 2006. Because you said, okay, Iron Top, we're going to bowl games. There's money. There's sure. season ticket.
Tiller was still there.
Purdue is not. And so Burke gets the stupid idea. We're going to compete with Notre Dame's new upper or new seats and expand. We're going to get in an arms race with Notre Dame, which is asinine. Instead, what it should have done is we're going to have a quality place to watch a game. Like Mackey Arena, it's not the biggest. Great place to watch a game, right? It's enclosed. It's loud. It's beautiful. We've got great corporate seats. We've got great seats for other people. Everybody gets a good seat. No bad seat here. No more crappy high school, you know, what am I looking for? Bleachers, okay? Right. That would have been smart to push that. Instead, you know, so now we see these renderings that look like they're done by the team that did the face of the Oregon Stadium. Amazing, amazing, high-tech, beautiful architecture. It goes somehow with the traditional brick of the rest of the campus. You're like, bravo to the artists who did this. But it's
a nice work of fiction.
It's all crap.
It's a nice work of fiction. That's exactly right, what it is.
Like okay, like I said, I'm 5'4", Anish's 6'4". I put a comic book rendering of myself posting up with Anish.
Dunking over Anish.
Yeah, playing basketball and dunking over him, okay? And someone says, this is Boiler Dowd's plan when Anish and Boiler Dowd play basketball in 2 weeks.
And then everyone gets excited.
Wow.
Yay, this is going to happen. I saw a picture of it. I saw a rendering.
Six-pack.
Yeah.
No six-pack, pal.
Yeah, I you know, in our failed attempts to record a few weeks ago, I tried to ask Ryan what was there to be excited about Purdue football? That's the set. I mean, you break it down to that. Like, what is there, Anish? What is there? Is there anything you look forward to next year? Austin Appleby leaving.
What stunned me was that I think CBS Sports released an up or down percentage point of. Like attendance, and Purdue was up by 3%.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Who's buying more seats?
Nobody I know.
So, I don't even want to guess the numbers for next year because who's going to go?
We've said it all along. The three of us have said it, other Purdue fans say it. The logic of Purdue fans outweighs the heart of Miss fans, and they say, this is a stupid investment. It's a stupid way to put my money in. Obviously, there's money coming in from someplace, TV, right? So they don't need my money, and I don't want to go there and be heartbroken and be angry, you know? Come home and – I mean, this I just speak about myself. I come home, and I'm just like that hour drive. I'm listening to the post game for the first, you know, Tom, because you're out of the stadium so quickly, not hanging around, milling around, enjoying anything. You get in the car, listen to the post game, listen to other people complain. You come down, you're like, okay. So by the time you get home, you don't want to, you know, yell at your wife. I mean, like, so good. Okay, now I'm at least serviceable as a human being.
I don't know. Well, and the thing is, on the defensive side, the word that GBI is reporting, and I think they're doing this off of their payroll, so I don't think this is violating too much, but that is that Marcus Freeman has been offered a co-defensive coordinator spot.
Okay.
And that's
– that come out today?
That came out a while. They've been reporting that for a little bit,
does
which
that
is
mean
why.
Freeman
so
is,
that's
is
the way
slow
to keep him
accept?
I see that's what everybody thinks. And the thing is, he is a Hazel guy. Like, he's followed Hazel everywhere. Yeah. He loves Hazel. And maybe the defensive coordinator is slipping him up. There's no real theories on who
I think co would be perfect.
But who is the other co? Like, that's the thing. Like, who is the other defensive coordinator? There's nobody on the staff. I guess there was talk about the defensive
did you say Brock Speck? Is that what you just said?
No, the defensive backs.
I thought you said Brock Speck, coach in waiting. Is that what you're doing that again?
Please.
All that sounds good. All that lines up.
Well, I was just gonna say if Hazel's a lame duck, who do they go after? And you're right, they probably go after.
In all seriousness, if you think about that, see that
I would shoot myself.
I have thought about it.
Well, you gotta think that's probably what's
gonna yeah, it probably is.
It's not really the worst case scenario.
No, it's fairly bad.
It's a bad one.
And that's the thing is that I don't see it. I asked Chris Foreman for some optimism, and he promised me he'd box me up some Chris Foreman optimism and send it my way for Christmas.
Because he's stoked about football.
He's just great. He's just like a positive. He's a positive Pete.
Yeah.
But I see no reason. I see zero reason. I still like it. We all still like Hazel as a person, but man, it's hard.
Yeah, I've had a friend of mine who listens to the podcasts that we do, and especially the Handsome Hours that we used to do regularly. He would listen to him. He's out in the Southwest, and he'd say, "You got to stop telling me how much you like Hazel." He said, "You just got to stop, because everybody, if they listen to you, they know that." I think you're doing that to make sure new people understand you like the guy, but it doesn't matter if we like him. It really doesn't. And that's, it's just.
No, it matters a little. I would argue that. I would matter. It matters.
You say this brilliantly about 3-4 weeks ago. He's not a good head coach. That's it. So that little sentence says, he may be a great positional coach again. He may be a great coordinator. I don't know. He's not a good head coach.
It appears that Danny Hope was a much better head coach than Darryl Hayes.
Which pains me to, because
you mind-boggling.
The funny thing here, there are pieces of information that have trickled my way through different sources. But one thing that's really interesting that I've gleaned from Danny Hope is that Danny Hope, when he inherited the job, okay, he had the coach in waiting thing. Before he even became head coach, one thing he said, he reached out to ex-players and he said, "Hey, there are a couple things that I've got real holes in the program that I'd like to see. Can you guys help me? And I'm not asking for money. I'm just asking for help because you guys are younger than me." He said, this technological piece, Coach Tiller didn't do any of it. There was no social networking. He didn't reach out to people that way. What can I do? And so the thing that I like about that, and what that kind of, that seems congruent with the Hope that we all thought he was, very, very humble, right?
Right.
He would say, "Okay, what can I do to get better?" Right. I never got the idea that he was an egotistical guy, you know,
especially until the end.
Until the end. But I've heard information. This is the interesting piece, and I don't know if I talked to you guys about this. I think I told Jay about this, but there are a couple accounts of his exit that really make it sound like he was flat out lied to by Burke.
I am shocked.
Huh?
I'm so shocked.
Yeah, you do. You look very surprised right now. But think about that. If you have an employer, okay, who has been, you know, I think it seems to me like, you know, based on what you said, this weird turn of personality, the way I perceived it, the way you perceived it, the way Jay perceived it, you're like, what happened to the guy? All of a sudden he's burning the place down, right? Okay. It seems weird for a full-grown man to take that passionate turn and say, screw this, screw all this place. Right. I'm done biting my tongue, whatever. But if you were lied to by an employer that you trusted, you know, because it seemed like he didn't push the pay thing very much. He just said, "I need more money for assistance." He didn't get it. He said, "I need more." You know, I don't think he talked about his personal pay hardly at all. I never heard him say anything publicly. And he was underpaid for how much he was winning. His staff was horribly underpaid. Okay. But if you had your boss say, "If you do this, then this will happen," and then you did that, and then you didn't get that other end of the promise, I can understand why you'd be not only angry, but just incensed to the point you're like, this is a house of crap. This isn't, you know, nothing's true that this guy's ever told me. And you change your perspective on everything right away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say any more specifics on this because I feel like I'm getting close to something that someone told me that they didn't give me permission to talk about, you know? So, but, and I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of
hearsay. You need source, you know,
yeah, that, yeah, but. And it wasn't, this isn't, I just feel like I think one thing I keep getting pointed back to is that Burke handled the situation poorly. That's it,
which is definitely shocking.
It's really shocking,
hard to believe, honestly.
So the thing that I don't get is that, you know, he was dragged out of retirement. Remember, he was on his way out the door and the trustees dragged him back in, or asked for him to come back in because they liked the way he managed. They couldn't find a candidate that they liked at that point. So they brought him out of, you know, retirement. And you've asked the question, what's the feather in his cap that he's looking for that'll give him the, okay, I'm ready to ride off into the sunset?
It's another hire. You think it's another, he can't be the guy to hire the next guy.
That's, we can say that, but his bosses don't agree with us. They clearly don't, because they extended him when things were awful, things that are absolute worst. So my thought is these guys aren't big sports fans.
So with a coordinator, just kind of wrapping it, with a coordinator decision, you're hoping, we're all hoping that Freeman just gets a shot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. Just doesn't get away.
Well, I just want him to get the shot because I think he's, you know, I think it's a waste of immense talent. Because he's what he's probably going to do is he's going to end up back at Ohio State at some point, and he's going to be very, very good. And then he's going to end up being a coach,
head coach,
someday, and then he's going to end up back at Ohio State. Yeah. That's what I think. He'll be the guy. I mean, I you know, it's hard to connect all those dots, but I just think he's going to be great. And
Hazel and Freeman will be leading Ohio State to national titles. It'll be great.
Right. Right.
And like, Greg Shiela, your man, Rutgers man.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's going to be there a year. He's looking for a job. He wouldn't even.
Yeah, oh no, I'm not saying it's a good hire. It's a good hire for Urban Meyer.
So does that mean? Can you help me, Jay? Finkel is now the co-defensive coordinator with Shiano, because Finkel didn't lose his job, did he?
No, he got hired.
Luke Finkel went someplace else.
Yeah.
Finkel? No. You're thinking of Ash.
Ash, I'm sorry.
Ash is at Rutgers.
Ash is down at Houston, right?
No, he's at Rutgers.
Rutgers. And then okay. Shiano came in.
Well, Ash is the one that that really didn't look like he was quite ready to be a head coach because of his resume, but he got the job because he was in Urban Meyer.
Yeah, Urban Meyer, yeah.
So,
what's the line between Hazel staying for 2018 and Hazel not? In reality,
I think he should be there now. So my lines already have been crossed.
The hard thing
for me is you're trying to get in the head of the trustees at this point, right?
I mean, another 2-win season.
I said this, Jay. Do you remember this? You and I had multiple conversations. I kept saying, how can you keep this coach with a 1-win? Because it looked like they were going to win one. So they stole. No, I say stole. It's the wrong word because they beat Nebraska. But they beat Nebraska. You're like, what happened that week? How did that happen? You know.
Well, Nebraska had a walk-on quarterback playing.
Sure.
That's what happened.
Even still, you're like, how does that happen?
And they probably didn't take Purdue that seriously. And Purdue had 4 picks, right? I mean,
yeah.
If that game was 10 minutes longer, Purdue would have lost. If that game was 5 minutes, they were going to lose.
So what's up? Does Hazel stay? I mean, like 3 wins. Does Hazel stay?
That's so bad. 3 probably. Wins.
Is, 4 wins does he stay?
Probably. Oh, 4 wins, yeah.
That's so bad.
Absolutely. Because you don't want to pay him a buyout.
That's
when
a quantum leap from where they were this year.
Right. Right. I think next year, I've said this for a while.
We're trying to guess. Okay, so this is – let's go back to my point earlier in basketball. We're trying to be analytical based on things we've seen, what's going to happen next
year. Right. You're trying to balance out what you think these people will do and what you think they should do and what you think will happen. And it's just too many. But I think that, you know, I look ahead to next year, and I've been saying this for almost a year now. Next year's schedule was the one I was looking ahead to that I thought had some openings in it, some chances.
It's pretty
weak. And if he doesn't win 4 games next year, then he's never going to. Like that's the truth. I mean,
well, the problem is we're recruiting all of these junior college kids. I think our like true recruiting class is somewhere around 7 to 9, and then we have of true freshmen with a bunch of junior college players, which means that he's holding on to his job. Like he wants, he needs it right now.
Well, I hope
it works. I mean, that's the thing. I think we all, if this for some reason one of these guys is lightning in the bottle and Purdue gets 6 wins, I'll be very pleased and very surprised. I mean,
reality doesn't seem to
no.
Well, and the bigger problem for Hazel is he doesn't get to play FCS schools anymore because that's half of his wins. So
is there no FCS this year? I thought that was next year.
Oh no, I guess next year there might be one more. I think Eastern Kentucky, right?
Yeah,
EKU. Okay, well after that, but you know how it's being phased out. You can't do that anymore.
Yep.
You can't schedule them anymore. So people keep talking about him being 6-30. I don't know if I've written it a few times. He's 3-30. He's 3-30 against football bowl subdivision teams. That's a 100 win percentage. 100, 3-30. It's
and we want every single one.
Exactly. Just savored it.
So that was really cheery part of the handsome hour that last
day. Damn, that's the funny thing is, okay, as enraged I was about the Butler thing, it really wasn't sad.
No,
it wasn't dark. It was just, well, he's ranting. And
these final four teams need to play. This final four team needs to play like a final four team.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But right. This football stuff, oh.
I mean, like,
it's a dark, horrible place every time.
We're 13th in the nation
And things aren't great.
Things are, yeah.
We're mad.
12-1. Yeah, exactly.
It's a good place to be. It's a great place. At least basketball.
Well, you guys could continue on. You don't need me for that.
No, I'm out.
No, yeah. It's
easy. We'll wrap.
So what, you have to make an early morning drive?
Is that no, right? I'm fine.
Okay. So, let's just real quick. So your prediction for, did you say it was 4 wins for football? Is that what you predicted?
For football? I have to look at the schedule.
I'm just kidding. You didn't say that.
No, I mean, Eastern Kentucky, Cincinnati, Nevada at home.
Maybe.
Okay, maybe. At Maryland, maybe.
Nevada's a bowl team, by the way. Didn't they play a bowl?
Probably.
Or Utah State.
They play at Nevada the following year, so it gets more fun. So at Maryland, which is a maybe. At Illinois, which is a maybe, I guess. They're getting better, though.
Not really. They've got an interim coach at their athlete.
Oh,
yeah, their athlete director's like, I don't know what to do.
Almost went to a bowl game. Went 5-7, so... You can mock them all you want. They're a hell of a lot better than Purdue. So
yeah, but their athletic director, he's mocking the whole situation, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy's saying, yeah, it wasn't great, but what other options do we have?
So we've got like 2-ish wins there.
So then Iowa, no. At Nebraska, no, I think they'll destroy Purdue next year. Mad. Penn State at home. Nope. At Minnesota, a little worrisome. Northwestern at home, Wisconsin at home, at Indiana. So
there's like the over under is 2.5, 3.5.
Yeah, maybe 3.
That 2.5 is awesome because that puts you in a position where you're like, man, it's a huge risk to
say, yeah,
go to that third win. Wow.
And then my favorite part of FBschedules.com is at the bottom it has, and this is on the Purdue site too, after the Indiana game, it has Saturday, December 3rd, Big Ten Championship game, Lucas Oil Stadium. Indiana.
Yes, so that make you play. Book your tickets.
Just letting you know that the week after the IU game will be the Big Ten title game.
Well,
man. So I don't think. And then the other thing we could wrap on too is that there's, 18 – Big Ten basketball games coming up. They're 12-1. And this is what I was saying the other day. Like, even if they went 12-6, which I think will be a letdown, they'd be 24-7.
Yeah.
Pretty solidly in the tournament. That's before the Big Ten tournament.
That's a you're a upper seed. You're strong in the tournament.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's why I feel like people should be happy, because they should probably go more than 12-6 against this Big Ten this year.
I think they end up with 25 wins pretty clearly. They should end up with 25 wins pretty clearly.
I guess I prognosticated 25 wins at some point at one of the podcasts.
This team could win 30 win games this year if you add in a 2 in the Big Ten tournament and then however many in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
30 games.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
I think it's on the table. And with all of the strugglings. But which, by the way, just want to see Hammonds. Give me Hammonds in the starting lineup.
Yeah, agreed.
That's all I want.
And that one person who tweeted, it just kind of made me really sad really fast. It's right after Purdue beats Vanderbilt. And he says, I'm not ready to watch Purdue basketball without A.J. Hammonds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the funny thing is.
I love A.J.
Yeah.
I'm always team A.J. I ride with A.J.
Yeah. So, you caramel boys.
That's right.
Stuck up caramel.
That's right. Sitting here in your mansion, your beautiful mansion. The guest house, or the pool house.
This house, Anisha's here, and I really like this house. I think it's great. You know, I enjoy it. Every time someone comes in here for the first time, I kind of, you know, it's we've been here 7 months now. People come in here and they're like, whoa. And all I can think of, man, our old house must have been kind of a shit.
No one did that.
I know, but I mean, because I'm like, I think these, you know, this is a logical step, but I think people are like, oh, you went from a cardboard box. No, dude, what are you doing?
Things must be good.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been listening to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour.
BS all the time.